Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, it is the Red Men Podcast. I'm Paul Machin. I'm joined in the studio by Ross Chanley and from home by two absolute stellar human beings. The first is Chris Pajak, the second is Sam Walker. And I feel actually that in doing that, because what I want to do is I want to spread some love and positivity because the Reds are rubbish. But there's no reason to drag each other down into the mire with all of this. Ross, you're wonderful as well.
I was thinking that. I felt like under assault there, Paul.
I've got a second run at that. And no one heard us in the first podcast.
Well, don't be nice to the person who's literally in striking distance from me, but there you go. Mate, it's good to have everyone with us today. Thanks so much, everyone, for joining us. We are here and people can hear us, which is always a good thing for a podcast. Let's talk about what we're going to be talking about then. This week, we've got a couple of kickoff questions to get us underway, which we'll do in a moment. Then we're going to be talking a little bit about Steven Gerrard, obviously lifting the SP. Is it still the SPFL or is it still? Has it gone back to the SPL? No one cares. He has won the title and we do care about that, and we'll talk about him and what that means for him and what he should do next. Obviously Leipzig looming on the horizon, the Champions League, and whether we've thrown all our eggs into that basket, and a couple of nice words from Daniel Sturridge as well about Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool moving forward, all to look forward to. But the kickoff question, number one, comes from Vic Flair. I really like that. Would you stay in lockdown for another year if it meant Liverpool win every game for the remainder of the season? Ross Chanley. Ooh. Yeah.
I didn't read that properly. I just thought it was meant Liverpool win every game next season.
No, this season. So let me just put this into a little bit of context. That means that Liverpool
win the Champions League.
But there's no guarantee that we finish in the top four. But that wouldn't matter because if we won the Champions League, we'd go into that. But you would have to stay in lockdown for another 12 months.
I'm fine. So I'm sold on that.
Really?
Yeah. You know, part of me misses going out and stuff. Part of me quite fucking likes it. It would be. When I work for social media, I'm quite antisocial. So fuck everybody else. If Liverpool to win football games and a Champions League, then that makes my life slightly better at this point. And I'm fine with that.
Okay, sounds. Chris Pajak?
I've already missed one Champions League final that we won, lads, so I'm not missing another one. So I'm sorry, I'm staying here. I'm getting out of lockdown because, to be quite honest with you, we could win every game between now and the end of the season. It ain't going to affect my mood too much. What does affect it is not going to footy. So if that means that I can't then go to footy for another 12 months, I ain't involved in that. And it's also a little bit like a stick and plaster. Just rip it off now. Get it fucking off. It's going to hurt at some point. If we're in lockdown for another year, there's no guarantee that it's any better next season. Because everyone keeps telling me, and I believe that the fans are an important part of Liverpool Football Club. So get us back in the stadium and get us watching the game again. That's going to do more for my mental health than anything else.
Yeah, but it's only you in lockdown. Everyone else gets to go to the game.
I'm not staying in. I'm not doing that. No chance.
So, listen, you're taking one for the team.
I did read that as everyone's in lockdown, to be honest with you.
Just changed it then, just for Chris.
No. Would you stay in lockdown for another year?
That'd be even worse, wouldn't it? It's like,
that's the point.
Fucking 17 again and working a Friday night when all your mates go out. And you're hearing the stories for the next week. No way. No way am I getting involved in any of that. Like, so basically, actually, my family could leave the house, so I'd be on my own.
Never want a celebratory tug. To celebrate number seven. Here is Sam Walker, would you take one for the team here? I don't think I could do another year in lockdown. No. I don't think there's anything I could be rewarded with for it at this point.
Not a chance. I'm with you guys. Like, going the match, I appreciate going to the game more now than I ever did. I think, you know, being a fortunate person who gets to go regularly, I think you kind of almost like turn up 5 minutes before kickoff all the time. You know, it happens all the time. I think it's given me much more perspective of what being a football fan, especially if this club, is about. So I think for me, I would rather win nothing and finish 11th and get to go to the game every game next season and restart, so to speak, than the success of this season. I think it's more than that. And then, like Chris said, all the things you get to do outside, you know, having a pint. God, we're having a pint with you boys. I've seen you every week and I haven't seen you in the face since summer. So it's crazy. I'd negotiate, though. Can I negotiate? I'll say, what I would do is I'd take me being in lockdown till the end of the full season. If you can guarantee me being in the Champions League final, even if we lose every single league game, I'll have that. There's my negotiation, Vic Flair.
Yeah, I'm a bit of that. No, this is my point. I think this makes us all bad, technically makes us all bad fans, because it means that Liverpool denied that. But to Chris's point, it's not real. Like, if we're going to win something, I need to be able to go and celebrate it. Now, technically, we were in lockdown and I went and celebrated the league title, so I should caveat all of that. But under strict lockdown rules, let's say we're literally locked in our houses for this, just to make it more clear cut. But I would really struggle. Maybe that makes me a bad fan or whatever, I don't know. But we had an email about this, actually, about a guy saying that we need to stop saying that, like, that footy on the telly is not real footy, because there's people who only watch Liverpool on the telly. And I get that point, but also to further the point Chris was making on this, is that when you it's no different for a lot of people, but when you've lost something, it's so tangible how different the whole experience is. With no disrespect to people who don't have that option, we're very privileged to be able to have the option to watch the footy, of course, but that goes to my point, is that, and that's why we're not the best people. I'm sure there's people around the world, loads of people probably watching, who would take it, because it is, Liverpool are a digital experience at the best of times. It's how you react to people online, which you would still be able to do if Liverpool won it and we were in lockdown. But for me, I miss being there. I miss being out there, being amongst people, being able to, like parades and all that kind of stuff.
I think I've just reached the point where it's just like, I just want us to win a game of footy at this point. That's how low I am. That's why I said that. Mm. I could just take a win.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can take one. It doesn't need all of us to do this.
All right. So I'm by myself for another year.
You can go into lockdown for a year.
You have a jolly time.
And we get to celebrate a Champions League win. I think we've solved that there. No negotiation needed. Ross Chanley taking one for the, because he's a real Liverpool fan and we're not.
Deal. Let's all shake on that now.
Yeah, that's absolutely. That's awesome.
Hi, Ross. Nice to know you.
I just wear get up and walk off on live telly.
Yeah, you're only slightly less of a gobshite than Piers Morgan, though, so it's fine.
Wow, the opening of the show, didn't it, Paul?
I said less than. Let's say you're more or equal to. That's a guy that's kind, right? I don't know. You're significantly a nicer human being. And look, I could say you are a massively nicer person than Piers Morgan. He's such a horrible piece of work. Just don't
make the comparison at all.
You didn't, Paul. You said you're just slightly less of a cunt. Yeah, basically.
This follows on from yesterday as well. Remember, Ross? So there's a bit of an issue here, I think.
Yeah, I just might start this lockdown right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish you would. Neil Taft with our second kickoff question. You can only have ham or cheese sandwiches for a month. So only ham or only cheese for an entire month. Chris Pajak, what are you choosing?
Ham. Ham, definitely. Because I know you got different types of cheese and stuff like that, in the same way that there's loads more types of cheese than there is ham, but there's not that many types of cheese that I'd be comfortable eating on a sandwich all the time. Like, there's only about a handful of... Whereas, you can mix it up with the hams, can't you? You know? Like, salami's a ham, innit? Like, you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah,
it's fine. Yeah.
Ross?
I'm going to have to go with ham, because I'm only slightly less more of a fucking gammon than Piers Morgan, apparently, so I'm with Chris on that. You know, you can get flavoured hams and, you know, cured hams and stuff like that. You know, there's much more spice in your life with a ham than there is a cheese.
You're right. I don't think there's loads of variation on it all, isn't there? Like, cheese on toast. There you go. You know, it's a you can have a toasted, a cheese toasty, couldn't you? A ham toasty. Yeah, they're both, look, they're both boring, aren't they? Let's be perfectly honest. They're both, on the in and of their own, you could get very bored of one or the other. So really, the difference is minimal. But thanks so much for the kickoff questions.
We're going to Sam's opinion on this.
Nah, it's a fucking shit question. Sorry, Neil. yeah, I was expecting 5 minutes of Chris just going on about how he would make his individually constructed sandwich, what we normally get out of these things. But
technically, bacon's ham as well. So why would you not just fucking pick that?
Well, I don't eat cheese. So ham is the answer. And also I have pizza without cheese. So there's your talking point. Boom.
It's not pizza, it's lies.
It's not. meat feast.
Tomato flatbread.
No cheese. It's quality. Get on it.
I think we found...
What are you doing with your life, Sam?
I know.
What are you doing?
Are you lactose intolerant?
You need to leave the
house. I just don't like it. I have a bit of mayo every now and then, a bit of butter. I'm just not into cheese and eggs and things like that. I'm not a creamy person. Yeah, cheese is horrible. My kids like cheese. My wife likes cheese. I can't stand it.
Quote of the year.
Honestly,
I'm not a creamy person. Outstanding. Okay, brilliant. Well, we learned something new about Sam Walker. We've known for quite some time. Doesn't do cheese even on a pizza. Like my son has this big thing, was he can't have just normal cheese. It's only like melted cheese he gets on with. But like that's fine because it means he can have pizzas and it's not a problem. But like, wow. I bet you blow the mind of the people in the make your own pizza counter in Asda.
Yeah.
They're all like, and they're ready, and you're no cheese, and they look at everything. They're like.
You'd be surprised, you know, in Italy, my mate runs a little restaurant on Smith, I'll say where it is, not fair, but a little pizza place, and it's great, it's like wood fire stuff. And he said, they go to Naples all the time, and he said the second most popular pizza bread over there is one without cheese. I forget what it's called, but it's like basically like a tomato-based type oily bread. There you go. So the Italians get on with me. Yeah.
There you go. Brilliant.
It's just a crostini, that Sam.
It is, I'm lying, to be honest. Now, I don't know, but it is. It's meant to be popular.
Sad, whatever. Stephen Gerrard won the title with Rangers. Liverpool have got Leipzig. Potentially a decisive sort of 7 or 8 days coming up for the Reds. We're going to be discussing that in a moment. But first, we have got a brand new documentary. It comes out on Thursday on theredmentv.com. It is Liverpool versus Atletico. 1 year on. Here's a little sneak peek.
We were football fans going to a football match, and our job was to go there and support the team.
Is a Red Bull Colosseum.
The mystery virus started here in the city.
You must stay at home.
Who is to blame for that game going ahead?
2,500 Atletico Madrid fans coming in, bringing virus with them.
2 weeks later, the death rate absolutely rocketed.
He shoots again and scores again.
Imagine quite how deadly and how life changing it's going to be.
Many more families are going to lose loved ones before their time.
That's bad for so many bodies.
This really is serious.
Somebody fucked up, and somebody should be held accountable.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, that documentary is streaming on theredmentv.com from Thursday. A little bit different to a lot of the stuff we do. You know, we talked about this. We had Ben on the show yesterday, on the build-up show, talking about it. So do check that out if you haven't done so already. But yeah, you know, a lot of the stuff is really upbeat, celebratory, looking back at some of Liverpool's greatest moments. And we've got a lot of that stuff, a lot of that great stuff on there. But this is a little bit of a deeper dive, a bit more emotional, looking at the ramifications and the knock-on of not having that game being played behind closed doors or not having the game cancelled at all, and what it meant for Liverpool in the COVID world moving forward. Really, really powerful stuff. Ben Kelly's done a phenomenal job, and yeah, that is available from Thursday, so go over, sign up now and get involved. Yes, Ross, Stephen Gerrard, we've seen Gerrard win the league. I mean, it was the SPL, so, you know, partial shrug, but listen, good on him.
Yeah,
absolutely. I was made up. I don't really care. I've got no great affinity one way or the other with the Scottish leagues. I don't care. I have no preference over Rangers or Celtic. I probably disliked Rangers because they always look like they were always playing in Everton kits when I was a kid growing up, and disliked Celtic because they always used to beat us whenever we played them. So yeah, whatever. Steven Gerrard being a success. If we want Gerrard to be a Liverpool future manager, then he has to go away and be successful. First step accomplished.
Yeah, it's a massive step in what you know, a club that's been in turmoil for the past 10 years. And you know, similar to other managers around the league of Lampard and you know, managers like that, you know, it's a massive challenge for them, even at a big club like Rangers. But we dismiss it because it's Scottish football. But still, in the context of their league and what was going on, like I said before, what Rangers have been through, it's still a massive job. They still play great football. You still got to go in there with mentality that you can go and do that at such a young age and an experienced manager. So I made up for him, but I was very careful of how I worded the tweet, because I think you can be happy for him without getting involved in everything else that goes on with those clubs as well. I think, you know, they don't exist together in my head. So I was made up for Rangers, made up for Gerrard. And like, I don't even know what the stuff's about, to be perfectly honest. I need to educate myself. But, you know, from a Liverpool fan's perspective, I am made up for him. But he needs to do that on a much more regular basis for me before he even start the conversation of him coming to Liverpool.
Yeah, hey, look, it shouldn't be underestimated, should it, Chris? As Ross said, it's a massive job. I mean, we were having a chat in the office the other day about the level of achievement of it. And, you know, Brendan Rodgers obviously went to Celtic and rebuilt his career after Liverpool. What Gerrard's done with Rangers is far more impressive, I think, than Gerrard might go on and do more, but, you know, breaking that cycle from where Rangers have been and the finances he's had to do it is, for me, is a bigger achievement than if he'd just gone to Celtic and won a treble.
Oh, absolutely, Paul. You're absolutely spot on there, mate. I mean, everyone knows that, you know, you're walking into the Celtic job a few years ago and you're expected to win every trophy. Now, that brings its own challenges, don't get me wrong. And literally going and winning 9 trophies on the bounce or whatever it is that Brendan did is really impressive, because it's a testament to how sort of drilled he got that squad and focused. But they weren't really having many challenges up there either. And, you know, Gerrard goes in 3 years ago and takes them to the top, and each year there's been a steady improvement and all that. And Celtic maybe question marks over what's happened to them over the last year or so, because they're just not a good side anymore. But, you know, it much like Liverpool not winning the league title for 30 years, there was a hoodoo. You know, it felt like, to the Rangers fans, and I know that what happened at the club and everything else and them going down the leagues and all that type of stuff, but that is a huge thing to overturn and to give that side the belief to go and do it. And look, right now, they're still unbeaten this season. I mean, it's an incredible achievement, because look at, like, you know, How many teams go unbeaten for a full season? How many teams go unbeaten until you've won the league? Even if he doesn't do it between now and the end of the season, that's an incredible achievement in whatever league you're in, for the focus and the you know, the driven mindset of driving that squad forward. It's incredible.
Yeah, Sam, it's great. Again, Ross kind of alludes to it. I genuinely can't be arsed with all the religious he said, she said stuff around it. It's a purely Gerrard thing for me. I love Steven Gerrard. He was my absolute, you know, for that generation of us growing up, Scouse lad, a player that we all loved so deeply. He was the best fucking player in the world at the time that he was at Liverpool as well. And for him to go on and have any success, I'd be made up if he was a boss pundit. You know, I'd be made up if he did anything successfully with his life, because that's how much I love Steven Gerrard.
Yeah, and more than just what he's achieved on the pitch, his personality's shown more than ever. Like, you know, none of us really, I don't know about you guys, but really got to know Gerrard, so to speak. We don't really know what he's like. Come across him a couple of times, never really spoke to him. You know, it's not like the access that, like, you boys have had to players and stuff recently. So you never really knew what he was like as a person, but he seems to be like a decent guy. And the way he handles the press and look at the players, the fans, the way they love him, he's really sort of done to their club almost like what Klopp's done to ours, hasn't he? And there's more similarities as well in that. You know, they've gone and won the league, a big moment for that club, stopping the 10. After all the problems during lockdown as well. So we've got that sort of other intrinsic link there. But yeah, I completely agree with what Chris said. They've actually won, Chris, 4 trebles on the spin, including one season unbeaten in their Celtic. So to actually go and win the league unbeaten the year after, it's mentality monster levels, really, isn't it, on that in relative to what they are. And you've also got to remember, he's achieved in Europe. Last 16 Europa League, 2 years on the run, and they've got a decent tie and they've got the focus on it. Now, they could really do something, get push on in that. He's really staking his claim as a top British manager at the moment.
I love Sam. I just love the way he's conducting himself as a manager. It's the man Gerrard always should have been. I wish he was more like that as a player. You know, to use the expression, he swings his dick around a bit more. You know what I mean? Like, he's not afraid. You know what I mean? I always thought Gerrard was a bit too careful in the media when he was a player, because I think he was scared of misspeaking or how that would be taken in the press and all this kind of stuff. You mentioned it. I've had a few interactions with him down the years, but I remember interviewing him years and years ago, battling in the build up to the League Cup final after we beat City, and he came out in like a post-match interview and properly gave Mancini up and down the banks for something. I remember saying to him, like, do that. That's what we want to see from him, because his voice carries weight, and I like the fact that he's been able to do that in Scotland, because he does carry an air with him of, like, I'm better at footy than any of yous have ever been. I'm bigger, I'm stronger, I'm faster, I'm richer, I'm more successful and more powerful. And it's just like Gerrard's got to be the best version of himself over there with no fear.
Yeah, and I think you're right about that. But if you've got the personality to go along with that sort of aura about yourself, you can come up with almost like a crazy idea. But the players will back you because they know where you're coming from and the level that you've played at. I think what you allude to there, Paul, spot on about him as a personality. But when I think about it, I think social media and the way the world works now allows players to show a little bit more personality. Whereas back when Gerrard was sort of in his pomp and coming out of it, really, there wasn't really that opportunity. You were against the media all the time. And as we've learned, especially over the last few weeks and years, the media are quite dangerous at times. So I can understand why he was withheld, to be honest. But yeah, I'm really excited to see what he brings.
Yeah.
Also, he was never like the leader of the football club in the same way. He wasn't the manager. As the manager, you can set the tone for your club. Jürgen's done that. All the great managers have done that. Obviously, as a captain, you have a big say, but you don't get to push the boat in a certain direction in quite the same way as you do as a manager. What I love about him is he talks about how he wants to bring the best of each manager that he's worked for to the table. And what I see is he reminds me of Kenny Dalglish when he's talking to the press. Yeah. And it's this like sort of cutting, like, you don't understand, I'm living this. And that's the thing that's the big takeaway for me. I don't know what he's like on the coaching ground or anything else, but it looks to me like he understands how to play the press, how Kenny Dalglish played the press.
It was exactly what I was going to say, Chris, is that you get that impression from him. He's like a bit like a shark in press conferences where you want it, you know, like, he's fine and, you know, you want to keep him on side, and he's laughs and smiles and he'll play with you. But if you cross a line, he will absolutely destroy you with a withering, cutting remark or whatever. Like, you never get to sit comfortably where he's like that. And that's a man who just feels like he's at the absolute... He's totally comfortable in his role and comfortable in his own skin. Brilliant.
That's quite refreshing as a football fan as a whole, though, isn't it? Because, you know, we're talking about managers and players being controlled. It's one of the worst things as a football fan, is a pre-match press conference or a post-match. You know what they're going to say. It's just boring. So from an entertainment perspective, it's good that he says what he feels. Yeah. There's one at the weekend, I think, you know, Morelos is a good example of shaping his management, probably, because he's had to deal with a bit of a dickhead. But that's part and parcel of doing what he does. But he cut the guy short. It's like, don't worry about him. He's singing Sweet Caroline with his top off. And he's like, that's what you want to see as a football fan. Yeah, it's a bit of personality behind the manager. Yeah. Not just him specifically, but no, all of them.
I completely agree with that.
You can go a little bit too far, like as Sean Dyche did. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
That's the plot.
The lucky like he gave me.
It's great. You're right, though. He's starting to feel managerial, like he's transitioning. I'm a boss player into being a boss manager, and that's easily undone. It's I think it's quite fascinating when you look at, like, because the him Lampard, and I guess there'll be some Rooney comparisons as well, because obviously now he's dipping his toe in management. Is that particularly the Lampard stuff? Because obviously they're always going to be compared because of the England thing and all that kind of stuff, but. Gerrard's aim was to end up as Liverpool manager, and he talked about it in Carragher's podcast. Like, he doesn't want to manage other clubs, as it were, but he'll manage whoever he needs to manage to make sure he's got the skill set to end up at Liverpool. Whereas Lampard, did he just jump too early at the chance to be Chelsea? Did he think, oh, this is never going to come along again? Whereas I get the impression, like Gerrard will do nothing. I think Gerrard will know he's not ready to be Liverpool manager even now, and he will be looking at what he needs to do. That's a win. I've gone and accomplished that. So the big question is, like, what does he do next? Again, something we were having a debate about in the office for you, Ross. this summer comes, there's going to be loads of links to Gerrard and Liverpool at the moment because obviously the club's in turmoil, which I just don't think the Liverpool job is going to be available. Unless Jürgen Klopp decides, for whatever reason, he's had enough, I can't see a world where the Liverpool job's available. But Gerrard's got a couple of choices, really, hasn't he? At the moment, his number one choice is, do you repeat the feat? And do you solidify what you've done at Rangers? Or do you move on? And then there's maybe a conversation about, where, if he moves on, where does he go?
Yeah, I think it depends with Liverpool, but what my mind will be on that. But now I think he should stay at Rangers a couple of years, then probably go to the Championship or the Premier League or both. Now, this could be like another 10 years.
At the same time?
But yeah.
Wow.
he can do that.
Talent. Yeah. Manage the team, the worst team in the Premier League and the best team in the Championship at the
or
same time.
Or take a team from the Championship and then stay in the Premier League. But, you know, it's hard to judge because we had the snobbery about the, you know, it being Rangers and the Scottish League, but he's still proving himself as a manager. He's still taking, you know, longevity, something that isn't around in football anymore, particularly for managers. So is it a bad thing if he stays at Rangers for another 5 years and is successful with them and he can show he can build and build, or more importantly, rebuild a squad? You know, because that time will come at some point at Rangers. Can he do that? Is that another string of being successful? I'd love to see him at Liverpool, but for me, it's like I don't want him to do what Lampard did. I think Lampard was a bit of a scapegoat as well in his defence, actually. You know, the transfer ban, couldn't get another manager, but just kind of use him. And he's fallen short of that, and he will learn, and maybe he'll come back. Brendan Rodgers did something similar. You know, we thought Liverpool was too soon for him in his career, but you know, he's bounced back. You know, he's doing well at Leicester.
Yeah.
So whatever Gerrard wants to do, I think in his mind's eye, I think he'd find it hard to turn Liverpool down after Jürgen Klopp left, to be honest. But things can change very quickly in football. There might be another three managers in the conversation at that point.
Well, this is
or
it.
Now.
Well,
actually.
Yeah. And again, I don't think that Gerrard strikes me, Chris, is the kind of guy who won't be fearful of this. The Liverpool job might not come around again. You know, like I don't think he'd jump at it. I think he wants to be ready. And again, the question is, do another season at Rangers? So next season there'll be, you know, he gets a shot at the Champions League, which means that's an easy way for him to get Champions League experience because it's coming, yeah. And he gets to do it with the set of players that he's already got and all the things that he's got built around him. Either way, he's got to move to a Champions League club, I think, to take that next step in his evolution.
Yeah. Steven Gerrard knows what you need to do to be a Liverpool manager, and he knows the success that you need to bring to be a Liverpool manager, and he knows more than anybody that you get one shot at being a successful Liverpool manager. And he's going to wait until he believes that he's ready. Now, with the greatest of respect to Rangers, he is not going to fulfil that at Rangers Football Club, in my honest opinion. Mm-hmm. Because you can make them a Champions League side, but you are not going to be competing or managing the best players in the world. He needs to get experience, I believe, of getting into the Champions League last 16 and having two-legged ties that have absolutely matter on the biggest stage of them all. Now, the flip side to that, of course, is he might get that experience. He might believe that he's ready and he might get that experience at Liverpool and do really, really well. I think he'll probably preference having some level of experience at that level before he moves to Liverpool Football Club, because he knows how important he is. He knows what his legacy is, and he knows that he's not going to ruin that legacy like Lampard hasn't ruined his playing legacy at Chelsea for his managerial stint. But if he comes in and he doesn't do well, he'll be disappointed in himself. He'll be more disappointed because he's a Liverpool fan than any of us will be. And we know the pain that this club has caused him over the years and not winning that league title. He wants to change that. He wants to put that right. He wants to put his name on that trophy as a manager of Liverpool Football Club, and he wants to put himself in the best position possible to do that and win the Champions League and everything else.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree on that. Sam, anything to add?
Yeah, I slightly counter it a little bit. I 100% agree with it. He should stay next year. I think whatever he does in the Europa League this season will be a bonus for them. It's experience again after last year. I think he, going into the Champions League next year, defending the title or trying to maybe win in a double, whichever way you look at it, next year is growth on this year in terms of at Rangers. So I think that's a perfect platform for him. He'll be able to get good players because he's Steven Gerrard. He's broke the mold. There's excitement up there. The fans are back. I think he will sign a good calibre of players. I think they'll go to Rangers over Celtic this summer, personal opinion. But the only thing I will caveat with, I don't think he should go to the Championship because I think he needs experience of pressure. And where I think Chris is right about the last 16 Champions League, I think his own experience of the Champions League will be just as valuable as any managerial in terms of playing those top end. But I do think he needs experience of pressure in the Premier League. And I've heard a mate of mine keep saying it all the time, but somewhere like Leeds, where the fans demand high expectations of you, you've got a good crowd, home crowd. It's like at the moment, it's a tear down from what Liverpool is as a club. And I think that would be perfect. But then how would he react to playing against Liverpool, competing with Liverpool? So they're all the things that we're going to learn, I suppose, in the next few years.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a fascinating little, little side story developing. You know, like this, it's like the B plot to an overriding story. At some point, it should intersect with the main story, but it's just whether Gerrard's able to do that or not, weave that successfully enough. But I agree. The Championship stuff's tough because I don't think being in the Championship teaches you how to be a Liverpool manager. But it is the Champions League thing. It's what Brendan Rodgers completely lacked. He had no experience in how to manage a side that's playing two games a week, and you know, Europa League was a good step in the right direction, definitely for Gerrard in this. If he can then, even if he only gets the groups, and no one's got any expectations, I mean, he might not make the groups, getting to the groups would be a massive achievement for Rangers, you know, because I'm pretty certain the Champions of Scotland only go into the playoff round. That might be wrong, that might be outdated information, so I apologise if that's the case.
Hasn't he helped their coefficient with his run in the Europa League to a point where they do get into the competition a bit further? I'm not sure if it's like this third qualifier round or seconds, but I think him in the Europa League the last 2 years is up there coefficient.
Yeah, well, Bat Boss, yeah. But either way, it just a run in the group stages are doing no end of good. And I still stand, you know, he needs to go to a decent European league, I think, because that'll be something we haven't really had for a while, you know, the progression. An English manager going properly abroad, you know, and going and learning.
Going full Joey Barton on the accent.
Definitely go and transpose that skill set onto a similar level but in a different league and see if you can still do it. And if you can go to one of the top clubs that's also within two or three clubs' chance of winning the league, that's another step, but you might get access to another a greater pool of players, because maybe there's better players in Portugal, or there might be better players in Holland, or better players.
You could go to Italy and have pizza with no cheese on.
Oh yeah, he's not he's not mad. I think Gerrard probably is a creamy person, isn't he?
I actually wouldn't mind him going to manage Atletico. Ooh, like some, like a club like that, you know what I mean? Yeah. That's pressure. That's a tough job. And I know Simeone's an incredible manager and done really well and won league titles and stuff like that. But that's a big ass job. Yeah. That I think you've got a chance of success with. That's not easy as well.
Yeah, he needs to know where. Yeah,
get one of the.
Yeah, Rasenball Sport, Sam,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't know that.
No, so again, there's plenty of clubs out there that would give him that kind of challenge. A club that's established as a Champions League club, a league where the top two or three places, you know, get you close to a Champions League place every season. So even if you do fall short, you're not like dropping out to the Europa League for a year and then maybe taking a backward step. It'd be interesting to know anyone watching live on YouTube. Let us know suggestions of what clubs you think would fit the bill for Steven Gerrard if he were to move on. What?
Germany. Give him the Germany job.
Give him the Germany job. Yeah, that's it. I've seen loads of people say Klopp's going to be the Germany manager. Hey, listen, yeah. But let's just cut out the middleman. Give Gerrard the Germany job and then we're safe for a bit. Right, Leipzig up next, Ross. You know, something we've been talking about, something Chris has been talking about for a week or so, that we were going to reach a point where we put all our eggs in the basket. I like Diddy a man. I like Diddy, but I saw a quote from him on TalkSport. Be like, I don't understand why he changed all those players. Maybe he was trying to give them all a kick, you know, to say like, well, the other players hadn't been working. No.
They're all knackered, mate.
No, they're knackered. Yeah. He's rotated the side because we play Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday. Like, I mean, I know it looked a bit mad, but just watch Liverpool. There's no way we've not geared up for this game to make sure that we've got the best possible team for this, because let's face it, we're 7 points behind fourth place Chelsea. If West Ham were to win their game, they would be fourth with 8 points ahead of us. The idea that Liverpool are going to get in the top four is a bit of a fantasy right now. If Liverpool win every game between now and the end of the season, maybe. But
there's absolutely no sign of us doing that, is there, at the moment? And this is what we're talking about on the final word on Monday, was the word hope. Now, I'm hopeful that he's rotated those players to give us a better idea of what he's going to do on Wednesday, and fresher players for Wednesday to get us through the Champions League. I'm hoping that's the case. I'm hoping that, you know, we'll see us through to, you know, the quarterfinals. That's what the season is at this moment. You know, you're hopeful you get a draw. You're hopeful you get a win. But what else is to hang your hat on at this moment? It's not form. It's not, you know, again, we rotated players on Sunday. I was hopeful for a better performance, and that never came either. So, you know, what is there left to do at this point? You know, and I joked before the thing came out of him saying do something different. He did, and no one was happy with it. And obviously the performance doesn't help with that as well. But this is the last roll of the dice, isn't it? I'm saying, like, listen, I've done something different. Yeah. I've given us the best chance possible to get through on Wednesday. There's nothing else.
For whatever reason, Chris, we're not good enough to put down a run of 3, 4, 5, 6, God, you know, get into the realms of fantasy wins back to back, you know, and those reasons are well documented, whether it, you know, a combination of actual quality of player we're putting on the pitch, plus all the rotational issues and fatigue and all the accumulation of things over the course of the season. But that's where we're at now, is that, look, it's very unlikely Liverpool win the European Cup this season, but it's also not, it's also not impossible while we're in it, I think will be the attitude on that. So we'll do everything in the power to try and engineer a way through that tournament, because when faced with a, do you put everyone you've got on the pitch for Fulham and run the risk of damaging that? It feels like a bit of a sort of Sophie's Choice kind of situation, but it was always we were always going to preference the Champions League, as unrealistic as it is, success in either of them at the moment.
That's right, isn't it? I think, you know, Liverpool right now, as you mentioned, as Ross rightly points out, we're not good enough to win every game between now and the end of the season. So what we can do is sort of pick and choose and manage our squad to peak at certain times during this season. And that's, I think, what Liverpool have got to do now. I think the sports science people and the coaching staff will have a really, really tough job to try and engineer that. And it's going to cause flack and criticism on team selections on Champions League night if we go through against Leipzig, of course, but also, you know, going through against Leipzig, that'll instill some confidence into the side, you know, regardless, and maybe we can carry that into the league form for a little bit and get a couple of wins off the back of that. But right now, unfortunately, we've put ourselves in a position where winning the Champions League is actually much easier task than getting top four. And I don't think I think it's a very, very difficult task to win the Champions League, by the way. But I still think it's easier than getting in the top four, because we're just not fighting one team, we're fighting a load of teams.
100% on that. And that's the thing about the Champions League. It sounds mad and it sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it, Sam? Because we can't beat the likes of Fulham and we can't beat the likes of Burnley and Brighton. And, you know, we're struggling past Sheffield United sides and all that kind of stuff. So it does seem mad, this notion that we can do it. But, I mean, look, in simple game terms, you know, you could draw against Leipzig on Wednesday and go through. That's the nature of two-legged football. You actually don't need to win five games to win the Champions League. You could actually win half of those games, and you could squeak through in a variety of them. So it's almost more likely you've got to balance your percentages, even though you're playing harder opposition. You kind of get where I'm driving, and on this is that you probably need to finish fourth. Liverpool probably need to go and win what of our remaining games, 6, 7, maybe.
More.
Maybe more. Mm-hmm. You don't need to win that many games of football to actually win a European Cup at this point.
yeah, the mentality is totally different. In the European Cup, you know, you're playing against a bunch of winners. Maybe Atletico would be the one sort of caveat to that, where their style is probably anti-Liverpool. But you're playing against a load of other teams who want to win, and they try and win every single game until the last 10 minutes of the second leg. And that's not the same in the Premier League. Teams navigate through various games and different styles and different ways of playing. I think in the Champions League, you've got two teams who are champions or champions-elect or have been champions in the past who want to play their way. I also think we're in a really strange position where we know everybody knows we're a good side with a few players missing, a bit of confidence down. And when we obsess over next season all the time. We obsess over getting in the top four for what to be in the group stage of the most boring competition till December ever. And then we're actually in the second leg of the Champions League now with a 2-0 lead. We have as much chance as any in this round of getting through. You know, there's only, I think, Bayern who've got a better lead than us. So we can win the competition this year if we get through. We're in the last eight. Of course we can. You know, we're Liverpool Football Club. You know, we go on journeys and adventures regardless of the situation. And we're also in a position where I actually think that being out of the top four race and the title race could play into our hands in the same way that Rangers can go for the Europa League, you know, hands down now, because they don't have to concentrate everything on the weekend. You know, Bayern Munich are going toe-to-toe with Red Bull every week, and then they're going to the Champions League. We're in a weird position where we can actually sack the league. We're not going down. We're not really going to get Europe. So let's just try and win the Champions League, and what will be, will be.
Yeah, it does give. It's one of those things, isn't it? Where you're right. The lift. I'm not saying the lift necessarily translates into us therefore turning our league form around, but it gives the squad. The league's done. Ross, you know, that motivation, we've seen that happen for Liverpool sides time and time again, where, and I referenced a couple of times, like the season after 2008-2009, where we just start the season garbage. And so the league's gone, and that's a very difficult mentality to overcome, because you know you can't match your own level there. But if you've got Champions League games to look forward to, they become the motivation to run faster, work harder, train better, because you want to be in, there's something tangible. The fight for top four, so many clubs fall short of top four because battling to finish fourth is on the verge of being a loser's mentality.
Yeah, possibly. And I agree with what Sam's saying, but just to counter that and be a slightly negative Nelly on the podcast here, we're showing no signs of being able to do that in the Champions League. You just listed a load of clubs that we can't play football against, and we might get through against Leipzig. But concern for, I can give myself in this, is when you're playing Bayern Munich and you know, Man City, we could get in the next round as well. Those types of clubs, are you going, have we got the squad and the body to be able to go and do that? And it's fine, I get what you're saying, rotating the league and you've still got people freshness. But whatever side we put out at the minute, and I know the consequences of why that's happened,
yeah,
I still got no confidence inside.
No,
100%. And she still have that thing of, particularly against Fulham, of, you know, that grit that you're talking about there wasn't there against Fulham. And, you know, it should be for a top four. It should be because of what kind of what's going on. It should be because we rotated players. It should be because we had fresh legs. Yeah. Like, you should be able to take that into any game.
I think, I don't think Liverpool lacked for... I think grit is a weird way of phrasing that. I don't think Liverpool lacked for want to win that football match against Fulham. But the point is, my point on this, because I agree, it's just, we're talking in fantastical hypothetics at the moment because Liverpool are crap. Yeah, and the idea of sitting here and saying Liverpool are going to win any football match at the moment sounds ludicrous. Ludicrous. But what you've got, to Sam's point, yes, but I think it's worth remembering, you know, we don't want to have the fans and we don't have our best team. So we can't actually go toe to toe in the same way with these teams, because Bayern Munich, you're right, theoretically would kill us. Because we're playing Bayern Munich with Nat Phillips and Reece Williams as centre halves, Lewandowski's just gonna turn up with his beach shorts on and his sunnies and still score five. But what you can do in those games, you can engineer wins against better teams. You can't engineer wins against worse teams, because that's just the nature of what they do.
We won it with the worst team in 2005.
Exactly. And I'm not saying that means Liverpool are going to do anything, because that's not how football works. But it's far easier. You get to rebirth the mentality that we had, Chris, you know, in the early days of Klopp, of drag them down to your level and kill them there. And I wonder whether that, if you get past Leipzig, that gives Klopp his gather everyone round, get his arms around everyone and go, this is our job, this is our focus. We train, we get weeks and weeks of training towards how we beat this one team, as opposed to having to train with no training time, going ahead for, you know, just barreling through a bunch of fixtures.
Yeah, that's it. I think I agree with Sam. I think there are a lot of teams in this sort of left in the Champions League that aren't going to change their style of play to play like Fulham. There is Atletico Madrid who will absolutely 100% do that, but they're not changing the style of play to do that. That's just part of who they are. Their DNA, isn't it? You know, whereas Liverpool can go out there and they may be able to engineer a way through, exactly like you're saying, Paul. But for me, it's a case of, for the last 6 weeks, every player in this squad has probably wanted the season to be over. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. Not this week. This week, they're fighting to extend the season, and that's a different mindset. We've had nothing to play for in the league for a long time now. We've not been able to win the league for a long time.
We're suffering
now,
from not being able to, because that the parade thing's gone. All the thing that we geared the season towards was go and win it again so we can celebrate with the fans, and we've lost that. And you're right, the motivation goes with it.
Yeah, exactly. And this week, that motivation's there. Just like we saw when we went and played them away from home, the motivation was there. And that's not just a question their want to produce on the pitch, but there's an extra percent that you get from something. You know, it's intangible almost. But Liverpool have got the sight on something, and maybe it is just the Champions League. And hopefully we do go on and put a great performance in, and hopefully this does give the players a lift, regardless of what happens to the league form. Because I think, you know, we are capable of engineering our way, even when we're not the best side, to a final in this competition. We are capable of winning games of football against any team on our day. The problem is, on our day used to be twice a week. On our day now isn't twice a week. So you've got to pick and choose when you're going to get those wins. Wish it was as easy as that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's a thing, I wonder whether stylistically we'll see Liverpool change, but there's a possibility that, you know, you take what everyone's been doing to us, and we go, you know, we can't copy what everyone's been doing to us and use it to win football matches in the Premier League, because that doesn't work.
The ball would just be in the middle of the pitch.
Well, no, it would just be goalkeepers kicking the ball to fucking fullbacks.
It's not a second game where you do that. Yeah, that's what it would fucking be like, wouldn't it?
Did you just forget the name of table football like this?
I think I remembered table football halfway through when Sam was talking to you about your head. Foosball, I'd completely forgotten.
Yeah. But that's what I mean. It would literally be centre-halves playing long balls into the channels to be received by fullbacks, who then play to the centre-half who then did it. It would just be like a long version of pass. But you might be able to do something, you might be able to take that and cause some upsets in the Champions League. But again, it's all predicated around beating Leipzig by hook or by crook.
Just cover it at your point, that was based on like a current form.
You're right, because there'll be tons of people watching this going, well, why are you even talking about what happens next in the Champions League? Because Liverpool are not going to beat Leipzig. Liverpool are going to get beaten by Leipzig and Liverpool. And that's dead right, by the way. Liverpool are in abysmal form. There's no escaping that. While we still can't have a flight of fancy, we're just trying to enjoy a flight of fancy, because there's nothing more we can do about that at the moment. Try and live life positive. Speaking of which, Daniel Sturridge put a wonderful tweet out to end. Said, great players and managers always figure out the solution to the problems, and I have no doubt Liverpool will be back to the team we know and love. Played some of the best football in Europe the last 4 or 5 years, so this bad patch feels different. International break will reset the engine, trust me.
He's after a job.
Honestly, I would hire Daniel Sturridge as a motivational speaker for Liverpool. He's got some ambassadorial work to do. Oh god, we've been crying out for Daniel Sturridge this season, big time. Except not, you know, Daniel Sturridge that is fit, which we were for the last 5 years of his Liverpool career. But no, great words from Daniel Sturridge, and I totally agree with them all. The international break. Leipzig, Wolves, and then a chance. You know, we're going to be doing the Reds News Roundup today. We're going to be talking about the fact that like the Brazilians aren't going away on international duty this coming week, which is massive. That is massive for us in the coming week. So yeah, we're going to discuss that and a few other bits and pieces over. So if you want more Liverpool related news, in fact, I don't have the agenda in front of me, but yeah, we're going to be discussing the Liverpool finances. A lot of people talking about FSG haven't been investing into the playing squad. We're going to be doing a bit of myth busting on that on the show. We're going to be talking about, again, the changes to the international rules, because Liverpool and a lot of other Premier League clubs have dug their heels in and not releasing players and what that could mean for us. And Kalidou Koulibaly's been linked strongly to Liverpool as well. All of those things coming from the Reds News Roundup. That's on the RedFedTV.com. We're streaming from this afternoon, so do get involved over on there. And of course, check out Ben's documentary from Thursday as well. well. Gents, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you to all the wonderful people who've joined us live on YouTube for this. You guys are all great. You're all fabulous looking people, and we love you very much. And Scott Hawkes, just happy to end us with a super chat, has just said, back Klopp trying to get through an unprecedented season. I'm just tuning out the sniping on social media. Back the manager in the world. Back the best manager in the world for the past 4 years. 100%. It shouldn't need saying, but it's nice to say it just to remind us that we're all 100% behind Jurgen Klopp. And if you're not, and I said this on my channel yesterday, I did a great video, I've surmised that if you're a boy and you're saying out Jurgen Klopp out, you've got a small willy. see us all very soon. Podcast is back next week. Ta-da.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.